You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Right, that's what we're focusing on this week as we take a look at Acts chapter 4. We've been going through the book of Acts in our series To the Ends of the Earth so that all might hear of the good news of Jesus. And the first week we looked at Acts chapter 1 where we saw Jesus' ascension into heaven. Right, we saw Jesus who had been with his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. You know, they'd been together for 40 days. And during those 40 days, he taught his disciples. He encouraged his disciples. And he also promised that he would send them a helper. And then 40 days later, 40 days after his resurrection, was his ascension into heaven. So he had been with them for 40 days, and then all of a sudden, he's not with them in the way that he'd always known them to be, that they'd always known him to be with them. And then, 10 days after his ascension, we see God send his helper to fulfill the promise that he had given them, to give him their helper. God sends his Holy Spirit to be with his disciples, and the disciples are filled with that Holy Spirit, and they're able to go and spread the good news of Jesus to each person in their own language. So as people are there gathered together, whether they're from Jerusalem or from the ends of the earth, they're all able to hear the good news of Jesus in their own language. And that day is, we call it Pentecost, but it's also considered the birth of the early church, the birth of the new church, because it's on that day that really people come to be baptized and come to know of Jesus. And it said that day there were 3,000 added to their numbers. And also we saw the values of the church that didn't just, you know, it wasn't just a one-day thing, but we saw this new church living differently than their surroundings and their community around them. We saw that they had devotion to God and his word, fellowship with one another, radical generosity and sharing, and then praying and worshiping together. And that didn't stop in Acts chapter 2. Right, that continued, and we even see that again in our text in Acts chapter 4 today. We see the Holy Spirit doing signs and wonders. We see people being healed because when we skipped Acts chapter 3, and that's the healing of a crippled man. But most importantly, the church is growing. And we see that in the verse 4 of chapter 4 today. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Right, 5,000 men, meaning 5,000 households, so maybe 30 or 40,000 people who have become part of this new church. But as the church grows and expands, so does the pushback from Satan. We see Satan using government leaders and religious leaders trying to silence Peter and John and the rest of the disciples because they continue to teach people and proclaim the resurrection of the dead in Christ Jesus. And we see in our text today that Peter and John, they're arrested for spreading this good news, and then they're brought before the high priest and his family. And with this incredible audience in front of him, Peter has two options. As they ask him, you know, who is it that's doing this? This resurrection, or healing of this crippled man. Who's doing this? He could either hide, you know, he could put Jesus behind him, deny that it was Jesus, maybe say, oh, it was some coincidence, or oh, we have some great power. Or he can double down on what got him thrown in prison in the first place and teach and proclaim the good news of Jesus. So can you guess which one he chose? Obviously, it was the second of those two. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Right in front of this powerful audience, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, passionately proclaims the good news of Jesus. And check out the response. I love this verse from Acts chapter 4, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Right? Uneducated, common men, filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? So they're no longer common. They're uncommon people filled with the Holy Spirit. They're men who used to be fishermen, who Jesus made fishers of men. But maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, obviously that's what happened. This is Peter. This is one of this is who Jesus said, "On you I will build my church." These are the disciples who are going out and spreading God's word. These aren't common people. Well, they were common people. But this must be for them, those disciples. This isn't for me. You don't know what I've done. I couldn't be one of those who would spread the good news of Jesus. But don't forget who Peter was just a few months before this. Right, a few months before this, standing in the same place in front of the same people, when Peter had an opportunity to say, "Yes, I am a follower of Jesus," what did he do? He denied Jesus 3 times. So Peter, after denying Jesus 3 times, could have turned and said, "You know what? Jesus can never use me again. I'll go back to fishing for fish." But Peter, he asks for forgiveness. And Jesus actually has to tell him 3 times that forgiveness that he has. And then the Spirit uses him so powerfully, not only with thousands of people being brought to know Jesus and being baptized, but also in this place, in the same place that he denied Jesus, in the same place in front of the same people to whom he denied Jesus. Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is filled with boldness, right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He changes you. He gives you fearlessness in the face of fear. Maybe you've hidden from God, or maybe you've hidden Jesus from others. Now, a number of months ago, as we were going through one of our series, we talked about maybe sometimes we think of Jesus as an accessory, as a necklace that we can put on when it fits the occasion, whether it's, you know, coming to church, I'll put my Jesus necklace on. Or I'm with other Christians, I can put my Jesus necklace on. But when I'm with friends who don't know Jesus, or maybe it's going to get awkward because I'm doing things that I know Jesus won't like, I'll take my Jesus necklace off and put it away. Maybe that's been you, and maybe you think that because I've done that, he can't use me like he's used some others, like he's used the disciples, like he's used the individuals in the early church. Well, if that's you, look at this story of Peter. He literally denied Jesus 3 times after promising Jesus that he wouldn't. And Jesus forgives, right? The forgiveness of Jesus knows no bounds. As you repent and turn back to him, he welcomes you with open arms, and he turns your fear into fearlessness as the Holy Spirit works through you. And as we saw the Holy Spirit, he did the same thing for Peter as he worked through them. And so Peter and John, they have this bold confession, and the high priest and the leaders, they say, "Okay, well, you know what, we'll let you go this time, but just shh, stop talking about Jesus. You can go, but stop talking about Jesus." And so Peter and John, they go back They go back to the disciples and they go back home and they talk to one another. They tell the story of what they've been through. And after hearing that story, they decide, you know what, let's pray together. And I want you to hear their prayer this morning from Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." I think this is a fantastic prayer, both for what they pray for, but also it's interesting what they don't pray for. Right, because if I were one of them that day, and I had just been arrested and persecuted and then sent home with the one condition that I not talk more about Jesus, my prayer would have been, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants safety. Grant to your servants protection." But that's not the prayer here today. Instead, grant to your servants to continue to speak your word in boldness. Give us boldness, not safety, not protection, boldness to continue to share the good news of Jesus. Last week, my challenge for you was to write down your story. Write down who Jesus is and what he has done for you, how he has changed your life. And if you haven't done that, I want to again encourage you to do that this week. But don't stop at just writing down your story. This week, I want to challenge you to share your story. Maybe you haven't done that or you don't want to do that because of some fear. Maybe there's fear of rejection, that if you share your story with friends, they're gonna push you away. Or maybe your fear is just that you're not going to have all the answers, that someone's going to ask you a question and you're not going to be able to answer it. Maybe your fear is just, "I don't like talking to people." Whatever your fear is in sharing your story, whatever your concern might be, I want you to come back to this passage and I want you to come back to this prayer. May this be your prayer this week. Grant to your servant to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Right, that's my prayer for me this week, that I would be able to continue to speak God's word with boldness. And that's my prayer for you as well. That as you go, as you share your story, as you tell who Jesus is and what he has done for you, that God would give you boldness, that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit and he would turn your fear into fearlessness. And so this week, go. Go this week filled with the power of the Holy Spirit who turns your fear into fearlessness and who works through you. Go and spread the good news of Jesus. Tell your story of who Jesus is and how he has changed your life. Amen.